Praise the Lord. What's the date? 28th of August, 2016, the year of our Lord. And that's fine. And we have our test results back. I would say overall, you guys did really well. Keep in mind, though, it was an open book test. You had been basically given most of the test questions the week before. And so a real testing involves none of that. Not an open book. Real testing involves, you know, it's already in your mind and your heart, and you've engraved it there, and you understand the concepts. And we spent since early February of this year until last week when we summarized the series, Did Jesus Correct Moses? And this just covered some of the main points. It really didn't cover everything. It wasn't a really in-depth test. If you were in university, you might take a 10 or 20-page exam. Okay, not multiple choice. I mean, real, I've got to think about this kind of stuff, exam. So, you know, why is it important to test ourselves? And we talked about it last week. It's important to test ourselves to make sure we're understanding. And on that note, I'll just go ahead and give out the test. And Josh, would you? I won't announce the scores because some people have already expressed that they might be a little shy about their score. But if you'd like to announce it, you can. Caitlin McClone. Wow. Okay. Naomi Griguska. Anna Griguska. Ella. And I got some notes on there you can look at. Josh is not here yet, so I'll go off his test. This is, oh, my wife. And my wife put this really cute note on here. I just got to share this with you. She said, disclaimer, I don't do well on tests, smiley. My memory is not that good, smiley. And she put the kind of little cloud there, right? Nice little cloud. And so I put another cloud back to her, and I said, my judgments must be within partiality, honey, smiley. So I'm not saying that to embarrass her, but Seth Andrew. Victoria. Anna McLaughlin. Sarah Ann. Daniel T. You guys weren't here for the test, right?
No, we were not.
Well, I will give you a blank. You can kind of walk through it with us if you like. And you probably, having read the book, Barb, and I'm pretty sure you can do a good job of answering the questions anyway. So let's just go through it quickly, and we'll try to...
Smiley face, cloud, smiley face, cloud.
Say what?
Smiley face cloud, smiley face cloud.
Yeah, that'll help. That's going to make my judgments partial. And I noticed, oh yeah. Lisa, where's your test here? You weren't here? Would you like to take it later?
My husband said he has it at home, but he forgot to tell me to relax.
Okay. All right, so let's go fill in the blank. Everybody got this right. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them, meaning Jesus, that believe him. Yes, is the faith described in the Old Testament same as faith required in the New Testament? Yes. Three Old Testament persons who were saved by faith. Now, this could be a variety of people because how many people were saved by faith in the Old Testament? What's the short answer? Three letters. All of them. Every person in the Old Testament was saved by faith. Every single one of them. Okay, so it could be people like Abraham, David, Enoch, Abel, Cain. Was Cain saved by faith? That's a good question. Hopefully he had faith later. He was marked, though, wasn't he? For his own protection, he was marked. Name three Old Testament ceremonial laws that were shadows of the Messiah that came. Some of those are Sabbath, circumcision, animal sacrifices, I saw some answers like scapegoat, and I corrected that on some papers. It's scapegoat, all one word. You know, there in the law, there was a scapegoat that was put out in the wilderness. And I got that answer from one or two people that the 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus went out into the, compelled by the Holy Ghost to go into the wilderness as the scapegoat. He was tempted in the desert. I put that together as another shadow that somebody else in our group had put that together, even though I don't think I directly taught on it from the book, either the Bible or the book that we were studying. Yes, sir.
Scapegoat, from what I understood, I never thought about it from that perspective. That's a really good perspective, brother. But I always thought about it, the scapegoat was taken outside the gate.
Right.
Jesus was taken outside the gate and crucified.
Yep, another shadow, that's right.
That's how I always thought of it, but I like it.
And he was put out into the wilderness. And so who knows what happened to the scapegoat out in the wilderness. He wasn't sacrificed. He was put out in the wilderness. And Jesus was compelled by the Holy Ghost. I had never put it together, but somebody in our group, I won't say who,
that's
they know
good.
Who did it. Somebody put that shadow together, so it was really good. And I really like that. I'm not sure I've ever heard that before. Name three New Testament fulfillments of those laws. Of course, the cross, Jesus' sacrifice, same thing. Circumcision of the heart. Somebody answered the communion is a fulfillment of those Old Testament laws, but actually the communion was a shadow that we would look back with remembrance on. So it's a New Testament shadow that we're looking back to of something that happened in the New Testament. But his actual sacrifice was the shadow of the Lamb fulfilled. Right, so.
The shadow.
Does anybody else, so I don't do all the talking, anybody else have a different answer than what I shared from their own papers on question number four, New Testament fulfillments of the law? Something different, what I mentioned, circumcision of the heart, Jesus' sacrifice. Anybody else have something different?
Jesus is our high priest.
High priest, that's right. Now we have not the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood, but now we have the great high priest, that's Jesus Christ, so we can go to him if we sin. We go and make our confession to him again. And if we're not born again of the Holy Ghost, if we're not a true believer right now, then we must go to him and his sacrifice in order to be forgiven. So we don't talk to Mary. We talked to lots of Roman Catholics last night at the outreach. Mary cannot help you. No other name, no other person could help you with this issue of being reconciled to God other than Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Because he lived perfectly and shed his blood for our sin. Okay, anybody else got an answer for number four besides the one we've already talked about?
He became the door.
He became the gateway. That's right. He's the door. Good job. Anybody else?
Sabbath.
Sorry?
Sabbath.
Yep, Sabbath. So we see the fourth law of the 10 fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And if you remember when we going through the series, we talked about the first three laws being vertical, directed between mankind and God. And then the fourth law is a connection between mankind and God. And then laws 5 to 10 are all horizontal laws dealing men to men. Okay? Good, Daniel. Anybody else have something different, please? Now let's jump back to question number three. I'll ask the same thing again. I said Old Testament ceremonial laws that were shadows of the Messiah. I said animal sacrifices, Sabbath, and circumcision. Does anybody else have something different they could add to question number three? As far as the, yes, ma'am.
Blood on the doorpost.
Blood on the doorpost. That'd be the Passover, right? That points to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. If you remember, we said those when you do the upper doorpost called the lintel, you put blood there, it drips down, and you put blood here and you wipe it across to the other doorpost, there's a cross there if you were to do that. But even if you didn't do that, you would see the blood dripping from his head down to where his feet were nailed. You'll see his handprints on each side of the cross in the Passover door, which is, I think, what you were mentioning, right, Hannah? Passover door. So Jesus on that cross is the narrow gate, the Passover door. All those shadows are fulfilled in that. Make sense? Okay, good. And anything else?
The ram caught in the thicket.
The ram caught in the thicket. That's a great shadow fulfilled. Jesus is the ram lamb of the nation of Israel. He is the ram lamb sacrifice. A ram is a male sheep. Okay? And a very, very noble creature. You've ever seen a wild ram lamb from Israel. They are beautiful creatures. And caught in the thicket to substitute who for who?
Isaac.
Isaac. So who was obeying God by faith to sacrifice his son?
Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham. The fathers of our faith are Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So here's the ram lamb caught in the thicket as Abraham has lifted the knife on his own flesh and blood, his own dear, beloved son, as a shadow of what God the Father would do with Jesus. Now, going back to our history as a fellowship, we haven't really believed it that way, the atonement that way. We would say we were taught things like, well, God allowed men to take him and brutalize him for our good. I agree with that. That's still true. But God the Father, in that allowance, also sacrificed his own son. For why would the shadow be there? Why would that shadow be there of a father and a son? How you doing, son? A father and a son. Why would that shadow be there, lest it's true that God the Father made a sac... Morning, dear. How you doing? Hi, baby. How are you? Good to see you. Why would that shadow be there in the first place? It must connect the Father. The Father's love for mankind. Jesus' love for mankind was demonstrated at the cross. The Father's love for mankind was demonstrated by lifting the knife and mortifying the flesh, even though that flesh hadn't done anything wrong. Now it involves the Father. See, now the Father's really involved in the atonement, isn't he? Sure is. We have to be very careful at what our atonement view is, because it will drive all of our other beliefs. It pleased God to bruise him. Right. Yeah. And in our minds, we think, well, why would a father do that to his son? We would, for our love. But then the Father raised him from the dead. Yeah, raised him immortal, amen, in glory. All right. Oh, here you go. That's yours. Well, can I just read from yours? And I won't read your score or anything. You don't care?
Yeah, I don't care.
You did okay.
More than 100%.
Yeah, that's most of us. Amen. All right, so number 5, what books of the Bible were used by Jesus and the apostles to teach the primitive disciples from? Now, I got a lot of answers like singular books, and that's fine. I accepted that answer. I didn't take away any points if you did that. But the answer is all the books. All the Old Testament books Jesus taught from, and it's how we canonize the Old Testament. So when you're talking to an unbeliever, you say, well, how do you know the Old Testament's true? I believe the New Testament, but I don't think the Old Testament's true. God's not that way. He's not mean. Well, Jesus quoted directly from each of those books. That is the canonization of Scripture. If I see in the New Testament that Jesus quoted from it, Genesis, boom. Genesis is authorized. I'm allowed to study from that book because Jesus taught from it. And that's where we get that. We don't see Jesus quoting from Bel the Dragon, which is part of the Apocrypha. The Apocryphal books were stuck in by the Roman Catholic Church between the Old and New Testament. So although they're interesting books to read, and we might glean something from them, I don't consider them inspired by the Holy Ghost because Jesus didn't bother to quote from them. And if they clearly contradict teaching in the Bible, obviously I don't want to believe that. So, you know, the Gospel of Thomas, that kind of thing, Gnostic-type writings. Okay, so the short answer is all Old Testament books. Does God still require faith?
Yes.
What does the faith once delivered to the saints mean to you? Anybody give me an answer they gave on their test?
Yeah.
Anyone? Yes, Anna?
It doesn't change. Abraham's faith is the same faith of ours.
It's the same faith. Abraham's faith, the father of our faith, should be the same faith as ours. And what does faith mean, Noadiah? What is faith? Give me another word for faith. You had faith in your mom. Do you think she's going to feed you? Do you trust her? Is that another word for it? Amen. That's another word for it. So another word for faith is trusting. So what about obedience? How does that come into faith?
That's the word elevation.
Right. So how would you explain that, Brother Marvin?
Obedience is your mother tells you to go do something, and you trust her enough to go do that.
Yeah, you might not understand it. You might not think according to your perception or what you think is the most important thing to do in your life right now. I don't like doing homework. I don't want to make my bed. I don't want to clean the dishes. But your mother, having benevolent good towards you and love towards you and towards the others in the family, gives these directions for good reasons. So that you would be blessed by God in honoring your mother and obeying her by faith. And then you would be blessed, your mom would be blessed, your whole family would be blessed, and God would be pleased, which is a blessing, right?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Where are we? In your own words, define work salvation. Now, some people, generally speaking, some people got about half of this answer, but didn't get the other half. Now, Seth, is half the answer the truth? You need the whole answer, right? So if you only give half of a testimony or half the truth, you haven't given the truth, have you? The whole truth is the truth. Okay, so let's talk about it. The question was, in your own words, define work salvation. And if you all remember during the teachings, I said there's two parts to this. There's two parts. Let me talk about the first part. And that is trying to keep the law, ceremonial law, or any man-made law to obtain salvation. That's true. But to obtain salvation, ignoring what or without what? What's the important part that you have to bring into the idea of work salvation? As we talk to unbelievers, what is it?
The atonement of Christ.
Can you speak up a little bit, son, so the mic can pick you up? The atonement of Christ, that's right. So the atonement of Christ is the important part of this. Any religion that says we need to do good things for humanity, well, that's nice, but why are you doing it? Well, because I want to improve humanity and I want peace in the world and I want this and this and that. But what about Jesus? Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Without the atonement of Christ being the motivator for all good things that we do, we're not honoring God. And that is work salvation. You think you're going to someplace better after you die, but you're not saved by the blood of the Lamb, which is equals damnation. If you're not saved by the blood of the Lamb, that equals damnation. That equals you're going to hell for your lies. You're going to hell for your disobedience to your parents. You're going to hell for your pride. Pride is the primary reason most people go to hell. I don't need him. I'm pretty good. I'm all right. I'm living. I have my life. Nice job, nice house, nice wife, nice family. What do I need Jesus for? I don't know. What do you need your Creator for? Everything? You need your Creator for everything. And all right. So a last part. Well, no, a couple more parts. We said name as many saints as you can from Hebrews 11. It was an open book test. So no, nobody really got that wrong. I thought one person maybe added a few people that weren't on the list from my memory, but I could be wrong about that.
I don't know how. I got a name written down spelled A-B-A-I-L. I think in the Russian test.
Right, the pressure of the testing.
I
did that. I'm glad you're confessing it, brother. So thank you for your humble confession. I appreciate that. I didn't know what that was either, so hallelujah. Did Jesus live perfectly?
Yes.
Everybody got that answer right. Praise the Lord. You know, there are people out there in the world that you'll talk to say, Jesus sinned. Jesus was a sinner just like us. They actually say that, a lot of people nowadays. Because he had sex with Mary Magdalene. They get that from a movie they watched.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly had sex with Mary Magdalene. Yeah, there's movies that promote these ideas, and they watch and they go, oh yeah, that's fact. But they won't read the Bible to find out if it's fact or not. They just believe a movie that some sinner made. Then question 11 was why? Somebody tell me why he lived perfectly. And this was an area of some problems we had too. I saw maybe I didn't teach it properly or you guys had misunderstandings about it. Why did Jesus live perfectly? Yes, Daniel.
He came to do the will of the Father.
He came to do the will of the Father, so he's perfectly obeying the will of the Father. That's one reason. Good. Give me another reason.
Perfect sacrifice.
Yes, that's the important part. If he hadn't lived without sin, he wouldn't be a spotless lamb. He wouldn't be worthy to be the sacrifice for our sin, which is why he came.
He would have been the ram lamb.
He would not have been the perfect ram lamb. The firstborn from above. Okay. Anybody else to add to that? That was the important part that a lot of people missed. Important part that a lot of people missed. He lived perfectly to love God primarily, love the Father primarily, and secondarily, he lived that way so he could be a spotless lamb.
John 15:10 says, and I'm not quoting this directly, it says
that, louder, brother.
Keep my commandments so that you will abide in me as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Amen.
I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. I have my Bible in front of me.
John 14 says, he, I think it's 18, he that hath my commandments and doeth them is he that loveth me, and I will manifest myself to him. I will love him and manifest myself to him. And actually, why don't we just read it real quick. Daniel, can you read John 14, I think it's 18. Can I borrow your brother's son? 14:15, thank you. No, I think it's verse 18. It's different than that one. I knew that one too, but hang on just a second. Let's take a teaching moment here. I can't see this font. John 14. All right. Yeah, verse 21, I'm sorry. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So Jesus will manifest himself to you if you love him and keep his commandments by faith. So Lord, all my horrible sins against you are here. I confess them to you. Will you come and will you, I want to love you, will you come, I surrender, I want to have a relationship with you. It's so important that we do that properly. All right, number 12, what does the Bible mean when it says Jesus was perfected? Joshua G. The two main points that need to be stated for that answer. So he had been perfected, he finished his work. If you recall on the cross, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai, I think, is the word, and I think so. It is finished. And so he finished the work on the cross right before he died. He proclaimed that, he gave up the ghost. Then he was resurrected by the Father. He also himself said, I lay my life down, I pick it up again. So he and the Father were both involved in his resurrection, fulfilling the prophecy of Jonah. You know, 3 days in the belly of the whale, 3 days in the belly of the earth, that he predicted a week before, or even at the Last Supper, I think he mentioned that. But weeks before and at the Last Supper, he mentions the prophecy of Jonah.
Well, he also proclaimed it to the Jews as well when he said this temple will be destroyed.
3 days, I'll build it up again.
And
right.
They even mocked him on the cross. Which right. Just reading last night, Matthew 27, they mocked him at the cross, saying he said he's going to destroy this temple, and then 3 days later raise it up again.
Right. Right. He mortified his flesh unto death. And then the New Testament tells us to do the same thing. Mortify your deeds. Mortify your flesh unto death. Until you die. Keep crucifying the desires, the evil desires of your flesh, or the things that are in your body. It's not that the sarx is evil. We're not saying that. But if desire comes up in your flesh, inordinate desire, whatever it is, kill it. Mortify it. I think that'll kind of wrap it up. Anything else anybody want to say? I really think it's been a great series, a great study on these concepts that have to be so thoroughly understood for us to be able to stand solid in our faith as we read the Bible. I've been chucking these books to anybody that'll take them. And Joshua, I got a copy if you'd like to. Do you have a copy of that?
Yeah, I got a copy.
I encourage you, Joshua, to read through that. And it really helps to give us a good understanding because many people will say things about the law. We're not under the law anymore. You know, talking to Baptists or Antinomian Calvary Chapel people. And wait a minute. Isn't Abraham's faith mentioned in the New Testament? And so when you get these concepts down, it really gives you a powerful apologetic against all the lukewarm churchgoers and for the truth of what Christ did. I mean, it's beautiful.
And they try to trap you, too, and say, well, you're wearing mixed fabric, or you eat shellfish.
Right. Well, the professors have taught sinners that in their colleges.
Right.
So that's where they get such nonsense. They think they can tear you apart as a preacher because you're not wearing mixed fabrics. Well, I'm not a Levitical priest. This is easy. That was for the Levites. It's not for me. I'm not even a Jew. I'm a Gentile saved by faith, as Abraham was saved from the Ur of Chaldees.
That's the way they try to use that because it's mentioned in the same verses as man, the abomination.
Right.
Also eating shellfishes.
Right.
And so they try to do that to try to trap you. They're using they don't really believe in that law.
Right.
They're just trying to trap you. Oh, see,
they're
just like us.
Right. And Hannah, do you remember the verses you were talking about yesterday about judging Sabbath day and festivals and feasts? What verse is that? Colossians?
Yeah.
Can you bring that out for us, please? Colossians 2, maybe?
Colossians
3:15? 2:15, thank you. And that's a Bible verse that New Testament Christians should memorize. Why? Because it is an answer to all the Judaizers that are still among the believers. All the Sabbath keepers, all the Judaizers that are still requiring us to wear this or do that. And why am I doing that? I mean, you have liberty to do it. You have liberty to conduct Sabbath from Friday to Saturday evening. But you're not required to do it. Oh, in our discussion yesterday, did you want to read that to us, please?
You wanted me to read it?
Yes, ma'am, please, nice and loud and clear.
So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ.
And when we read through that yesterday, I realized too, a big part of that, it says, those are shadows of things to come. So there's more things coming. The kingdom is coming, right? From that 2,000 year ago period. Please put your cell phones away and turn off your cell phones at this time. Thank you. Oh, sorry. No, it's fine, brother. I'm sorry. I thought you were showing him a picture or something. I'm like, what's he doing over there? What was I talking about?
Shadows
of things to come. See how distracted I am? Easily distracted. So, shadows of things to come. So, There's shadows of things to come, and what we talked about is the Feast of Tabernacles. And we began to talk about these things. Well, there's a feast that's coming, a wedding feast. The spotless bride has to meet her bridegroom, amen? And get married for the kingdom life. And when we talked about those things, so there's going to be a table. There's going to be a festival, a feast. We're all going to sit down at this banqueting table with Jesus at the head. Hallelujah. That's going to be wonderful. I mean, it's going to be the best celebration ever. Eternal celebration, eternal worship. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And so when we were talking about that, then I thought about you being Jewish. I said, well, maybe Brother Marvin can teach us about the festivals. Maybe Brother Marvin can teach us about Passover. Not that we need to keep it, but that we might be able to even set up a Passover table and go through the shadows on the table and maybe even bring... We were talking about getting a lamb. Not to slaughter, but just getting a baby lamb, right? And we'd bring it in the house for... We'd keep it in here for a week. And then we would set it free, and then we'd bring the lamb roast out, you know, not having to... But if you think about it, this is what we thought about yesterday when we talked about it, is that baby lamb... The father of the household put his hand on his head and confessed the sins of the family for the year.
Yes.
Right?
Actually, no, it was the scapegoat that he did that. The scapegoat, they had two goats. One was the scapegoat and one was the sacrificial goat. The scapegoat was taken outside the gate. The priest put the sins of Israel upon that goat and then sent it up to the wilderness.
Amen. What I'm talking about is going back to Egypt, where they were required to bring a lamb in to the household, one lamb. That's fine. Wait, maybe I've got it remembered wrong, but that's why we should go look at that.
Yeah,
right? And so think about the slaughter of the lamb. I believe they would cut its neck.
I would imagine
that's the best way to kill an animal. Yeah, cut its neck and then roast it, and you had to eat the whole lamb that night. Going all the way back to Egypt now. I'm not talking about what was happening in the temple, but going all the way back to the initial Passover, how that happened. And of course, I think about the Ten Commandments movie. I don't want to mix that stuff in with the truth of the Bible, which is why it's important to teach on it. So it's already been fulfilled. Hallelujah. But there's something, there's shadows of things to come that we want to talk about and understand as a group. Make sense?
There's definitely things to learn from that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. So, praise God. And on that note, yes, sir.
So, what you just said, did you explain then how shellfish are a shadow? Because we read the verse in where you mentioned in Leviticus and how it's mentioned mixed fabric. Shellfish,
a pig.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like an ask. Do we know the answer of how that's a shadow of things that come on the plane?
Good question. A very difficult question, actually.
I have an answer.
Go ahead, Brother Barb. No, I'll
my
add
answer,
anything that
my
I might.
The answer to that would be is that is how the house of Israel was separated from shadow of that is how are we separated from the world. So Jesus said, this is how they'll know you, by your love one for another. And so the shellfish, one of the things I'll point out too, is shellfish and mixed fabrics are not repeated again in the New Testament. Like homosexuality is. So anytime, and I've told this to several people, anytime something is repeated from the Old Testament to the New Testament, better pay really close attention.
Best preacher's voice, please, so the mic can pick you up.
Because
you're really saying some good stuff, but I'm sure the mic's not picking you up.
Okay, I'll say that one more time. Anytime something is repeated from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you better pay really, really, really close attention to it because it's really important. And then when something is repeated multiple times in the New Testament, like sin not, do not sin, and it's repeated from the Old Testament to not sin, and it's repeated in the New Testament several times. I always say, how many times do we have to be told something before we finally realize?
Can you go back to the why shellfish and not eating pork was important for the Jews?
Shellfish, like I said, it was a way of separating the Israelites from the world.
Good.
They were a peculiar people. They
yep.
were different.
Amen.
And that was their way of doing it. Then it was their custom according to what God had told them to do or not to do.
And I would add one thing to that, brother, and that is that those meats that God was outlining for them not to eat were actually unhealthy for them. Okay, as in any group, it would be unhealthy for them. Let me put forth my philosophy about it.
Sure.
Pork, shellfish, those kinds of creatures, bats, newts, geckos, or in some translations, those creatures, creatures with paws, have certain types of bacteria and viruses that humans can get from them that are deadly. In order to build up the nation of Israel strong and healthy, to avoid those foods would be a very good thing. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, God has put that away because I believe there's new knowledge, new understanding that pork has to be thoroughly cooked, you have to handle it a certain way, and so You don't get condemned for eating those foods, and you're not required because you're not a Jew. You're a Jew in heart, not a Jew by tradition of those elders. So, and their man-made tradition. So,
right. And then of course there's the vision on the porch that Peter had, that God had made all things all clean.
Right.
In the book of Acts.
On the tanner's roof.
Yep.
Yeah, so he brings down this blanket, and there's a couple different things you can bring from that. And Joshua Lavelle, I'll let you speak if you want to address that passage. Besides what people normally think, oh, that's just God's released us from any food laws, and I believe that's true. But I think Joshua might have something to add to that.
Yeah, no, the what I believe, the point of God saying I've made all things clean, he's not telling Peter, hey, eat whatever you want now. He's saying, go to the Gentiles because they can be saved. And that's the point of that. I don't think that in that passage God is saying, oh, the point of me showing you this is that now you can eat whatever you want. I don't think that that's what he's trying to do.
All right, and of course, I think in a good objection to that idea, not that it's not true that God's sending Peter out to the Gentiles, but food would separate him from the Gentiles. If he went to the Gentiles and started talking about food instead of talking about Jesus, that, you know, I've seen it in every culture. I've been all over the world. If you will eat their food, they will accept you. They love to, because people love to host. I mean, it's a natural thing. People love to put on dinners and festivals and you come and you eat there, strange to you. But them coming to eat a hamburger, all-American hamburger, would be strange to them.
Right?
You go, ooh, this is okay. Oh, it's not bad. Right? And so you're sitting down at a table together and you're consuming. And many tables, it's not American culture, but many tables, you would they still do it today, but big bowls of stuff, and people will reach in, and they're grabbing the food with their hands. And their right hand only for a reason, okay? Because that's their clean hand. You get it? Okay. So, but that's a communion. When you're doing that, you're sharing food. And people, oh, I'm sharing my food with my, I don't know him very well yet, but I'm getting to know him like we sit down and eat food today. It's a way of having good communion time together. And people, you all will experience this in your life as you grow older, but that when you sit down to a table with a stranger, you're uncomfortable. When you sit down and eat with somebody you've never eaten with, you're like, oh, I wonder if they're looking at my nose hair as I'm eating or whatever, you know, I don't know. Or if I got something on my lip or I didn't do my napkin the right way. I know. That's something weird, you know, it might happen at the table. You spill the milk, you get embarrassed. Whatever it might be, you know, and what is he looking at my ear for, or what is she doing that for, you know, at the table, it's kind of a personal time together. So, on that note, I think we can wrap it up, and They do some worship and...
Yeah.
There was two parts to the answer. Marvin gave a really good part to the answer, and I think philosophically I can't prove it from the Bible, but I think that's another... Sure. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your hard work to take those tests.